The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So for the theme for this week, I picked a theme that I spent my last week with. We had a residential retreat at the new retreat center this past week, and Gil and I taught that retreat, and we explored a theme. The theme in the theme sounds like a heavy theme, or it sounds kind of complicated, but it's like I'll just tell you, it's the theme of clear comprehension. And I so enjoyed spending my week in that theme that I thought I would bring it here as well. And it's actually an ideal theme for daily life practice, because the Buddha, one of the main places in the texts where the Buddha talks about this theme is in terms of being clearly aware. So the term, Pali term is sampajanya, and it basically means something like full awareness, clearly comprehending, clearly knowing, something like that. It's got that connotation, sampajanya. It means not just awareness, but clearly understanding the context in which things are happening, understanding what's happening in the context in which it's happening. And the main place the Buddha explores this, or one of the key places it's explored, is around the activities of daily life. He says that we should, I'll even read part of this. When going forward and returning, one makes oneself fully alert. And so here, this is what this person's translating it as, fully aware, fully alert. I think I'll use fully aware. When going forward and returning, one is fully aware. When looking toward and looking away, one is fully aware. When bending and extending the limbs, one is fully aware. When eating, drinking, chewing, and savoring, one is fully aware. When urinating and defecating, one is fully aware. That's actually in the suttas. When walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking up, talking, and remaining silent, one is fully aware. So this is the Buddha's encouragement for us to make our daily activities part of our mindfulness practice. And I like to think of these are kind of the cues, the mindfulness, the anchors that I've talked about, going forward and returning, bending and stretching the limbs. During the break, somebody mentioned somebody who's done this retreat a number of times. I think I've been doing this retreat for about six years or so. And someone who's been doing this retreat from pretty early on said, the word I use for myself is, instead of anchor, is cue. These things become cues for us. And one of the benefit to using cue instead of anchor is that anchor feels like it's just one thing, perhaps. We have one anchor. Whereas we can have many cues. And what you may find during this week is you'll hear what everybody's anchors are. You'll hear, we'll have a session or two where people say what their anchors are. And you'll hear them talking about working with those during the week. People find that as they listen to other people describing their experience around working with their cues, that they pick up other people's cues. So you don't even have to try to do it. You know, you hear somebody talking about being mindful while going through doorways, and you're doing touching, and suddenly you find yourself also being mindful while going through doorways, because hearing about it becomes a cue. So these things in this sutta are kind of our cues or our anchors. These kinds of activities. We bring our awareness to whatever is happening. So this term, fully aware, clearly comprehending, is a term that has multiple connotations to it. It's a kind of a deepening of our awareness so that it takes in not just that things are happening. So it's not just a simple awareness. It's understanding the context in which things are happening, and also something about a skillful way to meet what is happening. So the word is used in different ways in the texts, and I'm not going to go through all of those different ways here. I'm going to give a talk on clear comprehension tomorrow night. That's the subject of tomorrow night's Dharma talk for the community. So there'll be a little bit more of an exploration of the word and the meaning of it. There's a number of places in the suttas, in the Buddhist teachings, where the Buddha uses this term, and it draws out different threads of the importance of the term, the different ways it's used in those different places. The commentaries go a step further and actually name those threads. And they say there's four main threads of clear comprehension. There's the thread of clearly understanding what our purpose is. Clear comprehension of purpose. Then there's the thread of clear comprehension of what's suitable for our practice. Then there's the thread, and this word is a little odd, the clear comprehension of the domain of our practice. And then there's the thread around the clear comprehension essentially of the truth that I was talking about earlier today. The Pali there is clear comprehension of non-delusion. And we basically live our lives with some filters through which we see reality that obscures this truth. And so those filters are a form of delusion. So this fourth one is this thread of clearly comprehending the truth of impermanence, the truth of unreliability. So I just want to spend just a few minutes exploring these four and how they relate to our daily life practice. They're actually, the first three are very clearly part of what we're doing here. The fourth, the clear comprehension of reality, is more of a result of our practice. It's more of the insights that come from our engagement with the practice. And these insights actually can come right in the midst of daily life. I've had experiences like that. It's not just in the sitting practice that we can see clearly through our confusion, our delusion about reality. It can happen right in the midst of cutting an apple. So I'll talk mostly about these first three, a little bit about these first three right now, just to give you a flavor for them. So clear comprehension of purpose. This is understanding, you know, what is purposeful with respect to, in this context, freeing ourselves from our reactive mind. What is helpful for us in terms of finding more ease, more peace in our lives? And the purpose, kind of orienting ourselves around that purpose. We find as we engage in our lives that we don't necessarily keep our highest purpose or our deepest aspiration in mind when we're engaging. And this is part of the reflection of clear comprehension of purpose, is first to reflect on our aims, our aspirations, our ideals, how do we want to orient our lives? What is it that we want to orient our lives around? And then to reflect on, and how do we live our lives? What are the actual priorities that we're living by? Are they in line with our deeper sense of purpose? That's a little bit about clear comprehension of purpose. Then suitability, clear comprehension of suitability, kind of asks us to look at, in terms of that purpose, in terms of what our deepest aspirations are, our priorities are, what activities are suitable? What's helpful to have us head in the direction of that purpose? So this brings in a little bit more subtlety to our exploration, because sometimes we find, especially in our daily lives, we may find we have, say, we have a purpose. We understand that our heart's desire is to find this place of the non-reactive mind. This is where our heart opens when we reflect on that aspiration to be free from this reactivity. And it may seem that what we're doing in our day perhaps is not the most purposeful in meeting that aspiration. You know, we have to go to work, right? We have to earn our livelihood. We have to pay for our food and our homes. We have to engage in the world in this way. And we may think, well, this is not suitable, or, you know, we may have that idea of this is not aiming in that direction of my highest aspiration. Part of what I've seen happening in daily life is a reflection on, okay, so these activities of my daily life, going to work, buying food, these are things that I haven't got much of a choice about if I'm going to live here. You know, I'm not, I tried being a monastic, actually. It wasn't my path. I discovered that for myself. It wasn't my path. So, okay, so I have to earn some money to buy my food and put a roof over my head. So that's going to be part of my day. My heart's desire was to have my life be oriented towards the Dharma. And for a while, there was this kind of conflict. You know, it's like I'm not engaging in what is most meaningful to me. Part of what this reflection on suitability asks us to do is to reflect on how can we make our activities of daily life, or can we make our activities of daily life be in service of our aspiration? And I found when I thought about it that way, that my job, I was a computer programmer for a while and a technical writer for a while, that work was suitable to allow me to put a roof over my head, feed my body so that I could engage with this Dharma exploration. So it began to be, rather than these activities were taking away from my Dharma life, they became my Dharma livelihood. They were how I could even engage in the Dharma. So this exploration around suitability partly is to look at, are our activities suitable for our lives? That's one aspect of the suitability. Another aspect of suitability is that given our aim, there may be multiple ways, multiple practices, multiple tools, multiple explorations that we could engage with around a particular purpose. You know, so we want, our heart's desire is to be non-reactive. Mindfulness practice is one way to explore that. Concentration practice is another way to begin to explore that. Metta practice is another way to begin to explore that. What's suitable for you will depend somewhat on your state of mind, on your natural skills, on your proclivities, what feels most natural for you in terms of engaging. So, you know, all three of those practices are quite valid practices. Some people may find the doorway of mindfulness to be the most expansive or the easiest to connect with. Other people may find the doorway of metta resonates more. So part of this looking at skillfulness is looking at what is appropriate for you given your mind, given the conditions. And this will be true through this week of exploring this practice. You know, you may find that at certain times of the day, you might be able to do a little bit more of this active exploration of mindfulness. And other times of the day, it's way too busy. So more of that effortless side is appropriate. So the clear comprehension of suitability is very important for us to each explore what's appropriate for us. There's no one right answer. We all find our own way in this path. Then clear comprehension of domain in our daily lives. So domain, the word domain is kind of funny. It's as Gil said the other day at the retreat, he said, this isn't a word I use in my daily life. You know, I was like, domain? What's domain? The word itself translates a term that basically means pasture, the place where the cows go. It means pasture. So it's like the field. What is our field of mindfulness? Where is our home for mindfulness? And this is really all of what our week is about, is finding our home in our daily activities, finding our mindful home in our daily activities. One of the beautiful things about mindfulness practice is that as mindfulness engages, as we engage mindfulness with our activities, with our mind states, with our emotions, as we engage in this way, it makes whatever we're experiencing our home of, Gil used the term ancestral home. It's like it's a place of familiarity, it's a place of safety to be mindful of what's happening. When we're not mindful, we've wandered out of our pasture. We've wandered out of our safe pasture when we're not mindful. There's nothing that's outside of that pasture. Everything that we're experiencing can be in that pasture. It's not like there's some things that are in the pasture and some things that aren't in the pasture. When mindfulness is present, anything is in the pasture. So this is our exploration this week, is expanding our ability to be present for whatever is happening. Essentially expanding our pasture by expanding our ability to connect with mindfulness in a wide variety of circumstances, not just sitting with our eyes closed. So we are expanding, essentially expanding our domain, our field of mindfulness. And I'll continue to explore these with you during the week, but what I'd like to do now is to take a few minutes of reflection. And this is another piece. I'm going to use this as a two-part exercise here. We're going to reflect on, teaching from two sides, I guess I'll say. We're going to reflect on purpose. And we're going to spend some time reflecting on what our purpose, what our sense of our purpose, our highest purpose is, and then spending some time reflecting on perhaps how some of our activities may serve that purpose, or are there some that do not serve that purpose? Are there some that we perhaps might want to let go of? So there's that side of it. We're going to actually reflect on clear comprehension a little bit. So that's going to be part of this. The other piece I want to point to here is that what I'm going to teach here is reflective practice. This is a way of contemplating a theme. We're contemplating content here. We're actually going to think thoughts in this exercise. We're going to direct our attention towards a theme and see what kinds of thoughts bubble up. It's not going to be so much the actively thinking, but we're going to be allowing our thoughts to bubble up and taking note of them. So this is a reflective practice. It's a contemplative practice. And it is one that I found very helpful in daily life. Again, it's an engagement with content. It's a little bit of an engagement with content. And the way reflective practice, or one way that I've learned reflective practice, there are probably many ways to engage with it. I allow a settling into the body, a little bit of settling into the mind and body, silent, just being with myself. And then usually before going into a reflective session, I choose or pick a theme that I want to reflect on. So I have the question in mind. I have a question in mind that I want to reflect on. And then after I've settled a little bit, I consciously bring that theme to mind. It's like I drop that thought into my meditation. The reflective, meditative aspect of it is not to then consciously start thinking about it, okay, this thing, what is my purpose? And well, let me think about that. You know, it's not that. It's more opening to what bubbles up, having dropped that theme into your mind. So it's kind of receptive. I like the image of dropping a pebble into a still pool and seeing what the ripples are. What ripples out as you drop that theme into your meditation? So we start by stilling ourselves a little bit, so there's some sense of that stillness, so that when we drop in a question, we can feel how it ripples. So this is a practice, and we'll probably play with this practice once or twice during the week in other forms, because it's a very helpful way to explore a theme in a meditative way. This kind of practice can be really helpful if you need to make a decision about something, exploring various options. Not to think it through, but to kind of open to, how does my heart feel as I think through this option? You know, as I drop that scenario in, what happens? What about this scenario? How does it feel when I drop that scenario in? So it offers a tool for us to engage kind of meditatively, reflectively, contemplatively with content in our lives. So this time I'll choose the questions for you so you don't have to think about them. So we'll just take a few minutes and we'll be in silence for a few minutes, just exploring stillness and quiet. And then I'll drop a question in, and we'll be in silence for a while, just noticing how that question lands for you. And as you notice how that question lands, you may find thoughts bubbling up, you may find emotions bubbling up. You can kind of acknowledge those thoughts, acknowledge those emotions. I would encourage you to not follow those thoughts and emotions, but rather just come back to the question. Come back to the question over and over again and see what else bubbles up. You may get a bunch of kind of little snippets or bursts of things that may be seemingly unrelated. So settling into your body and allowing your heart and mind to relax. And just connecting to your experience in the present moment in whatever way is most natural for you. What is your deepest aspiration, your most heartfelt purpose? How does your mindfulness practice support this aspiration? Which of your daily activities comes in line with this aspiration? And one final reflection. Of everything that you reflected on, some things may feel appropriate or suitable for sharing with others, and some things may not. Allowing yourself the time to discern which things would feel comfortable sharing, and which things feel perhaps a little tender.